This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome again to the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church. My name is Mark Vance, and today I'm going to do a podcast where I want to give a word of congratulations and some advice to our recent graduates. So this podcast, all of you can listen into, but especially this is aimed at those of you who are maybe graduating high school, graduating college, finishing up a master's degree. You're in one of those major transitions of your life, and I want to first just take a second to step back and say, way to go. We're proud of you, and proud of you as a pastor of a church, proud of you for the accomplishment that that work involves. I mean, I'm looking at so many college students in our church who are going to be graduating from Iowa State University, so many high school seniors who are getting ready to graduate from their respective schools, and it just fills you up with pride. This is a major accomplishment, and good on you. Way to go, guys. And today, I have this podcast for you because I want to share a word for you as a graduate. And maybe you're not graduating, but you're friends with one, or your son or your daughter is graduating from high school or college. This might be something to share with them, or maybe even just spark some conversations about the wisdom that it will take them as they head into the next stage of life. I want to talk about what it looks like to flourish once you have graduated. You know, these moments like graduation, I think of them as pivot points, as a critical kind of corners, so to speak, in the navigating the twists and turns of life. And here's what I've figured out is you often will crash in the corners. You'll blow up in the pivot points when you transition from one stage of life to another. And so it's incredibly important to learn how to navigate these pivot points with wisdom, because if you don't, you can do exponential damage. You're headed at such a pace as you graduate college or graduate high school that if you will navigate that with wisdom, you'll accelerate into the future that God has for you. But if you aren't wise, you can do lasting damage. And in particular, as I think really toward the college or even the high school graduate, I think of four critical pieces of wisdom that I share so often. I did this over and over and over again as the director of Salt Company, but four critical pieces of wisdom. Like if I could help you in any four areas, these are the four areas where if you do well, you're going to accelerate forward, but if you blow it, you're going to find incredible pain. They have to do with these four areas: dating, friends, church, and money. Dating or marriage, friends, church, and money. So I'm actually going to state these in the negative to make this a more interesting podcast, but as we go through these, I'll state them in the negative, but I'll give some kind of positive words of wisdom from experience and from scripture along the way. So as you're finishing up and graduating from whether it be high school or college, if you really want to screw up your life going forward, here's what you should do. Just date whoever is the most attractive person that you see at a bar. Just pursue marriage based on superficial connection, not on a deep, shared, soul-level commitment to Christ. If you want to screw up your life, that's the way you'll go about it. Let me state it in the positive now. If I could implore you, as you're thinking about dating, as you're praying even perhaps longer term, looking toward marriage, date only extremely committed, Bible-believing Christians. That is the single most important piece of advice I can give you if you want to pursue purity in a dating relationship. Because if you have a person who wants the same thing as you, who's committed to Christ primarily, it will change the trajectory of your relationship from day one. Date only deeply committed Christians. So often, I've seen students graduate from college and believe the lie that actually any relationship they get into is better than no relationship. You see, they're operating out of fear. They're afraid of being alone, afraid of being lonely. But if I could just plead with you for a second, the worst thing in the world is not to be single. The worst thing in the world is to find yourself in a committed relationship with a person who is rowing in the opposite direction of you. You see, any committed relationship, think of it as you're in a rowboat, and both of you have hold of one of the oars. You're on the left side, that other person is on the right side. If you are both rowing in the same direction, it creates incredible energy going forward. But if one of you is rowing in the opposite direction of the other, you can't go anywhere. It's perpetually frustrating. And what I've found as a pastor over many years in ministry is this: the most miserable and lonely people I know are all married. They're not single, they're married. The reason for that is because being inside of a marriage where you don't have a deep level commitment, where you've lost a connection to one another, is more painful than simply staying single. I heard Tim and Kathy Keller illustrate it one time as saying, the most painful experience is dying of thirst in the middle of the ocean on a raft. You see, you're surrounded by the very life-giving substance that should help you, but you can't access it. That's what it's like being in a profoundly unhappy marriage. And so if I could plead with you, high school graduate, as you're going to college, do not just date anyone. Date only fervently committed Christians. If you're going to marry someone, make sure that their commitment to Christ is bigger than their commitment to you. Okay, second principle, from dating or marriage to the principle of friendship. You want to screw your life up post-graduation? Become a companion of fools. Hang out with people who absolutely love to get drunk all the time. Or let's put it in the positive. If you want to become a person who follows Christ and is fervent in your relationship, make your closest friend group a group of people that love Jesus as much as you. If the companion of fools will be a fool, the proverb says that the one who makes their companionship, their friendship among the wise, will also become wise, because paths lead to places. Human beings are incredibly social. We are pack animals. You know, if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. Because it is most often true that we are basically in life the sum total of the five or six people we're closest to in the world. If your five closest friends, as you look at them, have very little connection with faith in Jesus, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to find your faith in Jesus is deep, fervent, and real, because a companion of fools becomes a fool. You aren't going to pull your friends forward. You're going to sink to the level of where your friendship is at. And so if your friends are incredible, praise God. That's going to be so important in your life. So dating and marriage and friendship have this same core principle. Make your social circles connect deeply with people who love Jesus. That doesn't mean you never have non-Christian friends. It just means your closest friends, those you share your heart and your soul with, need to be people who share your commitment to Christ and your commitment to your faith. Now, where do you find those people? If those two pieces are so critical to success in life after graduation, where do you find the right sort of people to date or to marry or to be friends with? That gets me to my third point. Here's my third point. You need to start your time after graduation with a deep commitment to a local church. You need to find a local church and you need to get deeply committed to it. So here's another way to say it. In the negative, if you want to blow your life up after graduation, just focus on your personal spiritual disciplines and podcast to church, but never go anywhere on Sundays. Listen, this is the most common one that I see. When college students finish graduating, they have done incredible research on their career and almost no research on their church, which means they are moving to a neighborhood and they know where they're going to work 9 to 5, but they don't know where they're going to find a spiritual home. They don't know where they're going to hear the word of God preached. So they have moved to a major area without a thought toward the very spiritual root system they're going to need to continue to grow in Christ. They need a local church. And so the key is you need to find a great local church. Okay, how do you go about doing that? Well, okay, a couple points of wisdom here. First off, if after high school or college graduation you're staying in Ames, Iowa, I would advocate for Cornerstone Church being a wonderful church. And I would love for you to get plugged into a small group and to serve. Plug into a small group. It could be one of our post-college small groups or any of the small groups in church, but then find a place where you can serve. And if I can put a couple plugs in here for you, as you're graduating college, as you're moving forward, I would love for you to think about serving in youth group or serving with our international student ministry. Here's why I say that. Both of those are the sort of service that takes a little higher time commitment. And that's something that, frankly, right when you graduate and before you have kids and a busier life, you have a little more time bandwidth to give. And you will find incredible community in your local church by serving faithfully with people. So if you're staying in Ames, plug into a ministry where you can pour your life out and connect to people at Cornerstone. But let's say you're moving outside of Ames. It's a little harder decision. You could look at one of the church plants in the SALT Network. You can go to thesaltnetwork.com. And if you have a church plant in the city you're moving to, that would be incredible. But let's say, hypothetically, you are not going to land in Ames. You're not going to land at a church in the SALT Network. How would you find a good church? Here's the best advice I can give you. What you need to do is you need to get out your Google machine, your computer, and you need to Google Bible-believing churches. Okay, so you might check on the Southern Baptist website to see if there is a Southern Baptist church. That's a reliable denomination. You could look on the Gospel Coalition's website, Nine Marks' website. These are ministries that have church locator tools, where you can go online, you can find a good church. So what you want to do is use the computer to find a list of 3 to 5 churches that seem like they would be gospel preaching. Then step two, this is before you ever move to that city. What you're going to do is you're going to get on those websites and you are going to listen to at least one sermon from those churches. You're going to listen to the sermon. And what you want to do is you're looking for this. You're not looking for the church you're going to commit to before you've ever gone. What you want is just to find a sermon where you heard the Bible preached faithfully and Jesus lifted up. Okay, the Bible preached faithfully and Jesus lifted up, where you can tell they love Jesus, they respect the Bible. Okay, if that sermon, okay, hit that bar, it was faithful, it was good, then what you want to do is then do one more look, which is look at the church's doctrinal statement, what they believe, and see, do they generally believe historic, faithful, orthodox Christian beliefs? And if they do, here's what you do. You say, I'm going to go to that church. And when you go to the area, you go to that church on a Sunday. You listen to the preaching of the word. And this is one where college students often just keep Googling. Like they go and it doesn't really sound great or it doesn't go good for them. They don't really love it. And they just kind of give up on it, right? And they just go, well, I'll go to the next church that I Googled, or the next church. That's not the best way. What you actually want to do is, every Christian I've known in a new community, if someone new came to Cornerstone Church and they walked up to our greeters and said, hey, I'm new here in Ames. I loved the experience at Cornerstone, but I'm looking to figure out what church I should land in. Are there any other good Bible-believing churches that you think I should visit in your community? And here's what you'll find. Christians will tell you that. All you need to find, you don't need a list of 5 to 10 potential churches. You just need one church you know that preaches the Bible. And then you can walk in and simply ask them, are there other good Bible-believing churches I should visit? And they will actually tell you. Visit at least 2 or 3 churches and then pick one and stay there for at least a year. Okay? Pick one and stay there for at least a year, because if you hop around church to church to church, you don't want to do that for more than about a month. Spend 4 Sundays looking at different churches, pick one, and keep attending faithfully. You need to find a place to plant roots. You need to find a place where you can serve and where people can know you and love you. And I want to just underline one final thing as we talk about church. Notice what I talked about. You're looking for a church that loves the Bible and lifts up Jesus. You don't need a church with as good a music as Cornerstone. Guys, I don't know how Jacob and Nicole, the team of worship leaders, Anna, and these guys do it at Cornerstone, but it's like a laser Jesus show every Sunday at this church. It is amazing. These people are so good. I'm telling you, I listen to contemporary Christian music from time to time in my car, and it is not as good as our worship team on Sunday. I don't know how they do this. So if you go to a new community and you're looking for a worship band as good as Cornerstone, you are not going to find it. Jacob and Nicole are the most talented people in the universe, I think. That might be an overstatement, but it's close. I'm serious. That's not actually how you should search for a church. If God gives you a church with a wonderful praise team and a great worship band and you can worship, praise God. But the core of what you need is the preaching of the gospel and the church to lift up Christ. You need the word of God to feed you. You don't need to replicate the experience of Cornerstone. You just need a gospel-centered local church that you will be committed to. Okay, so graduates, we've given you 3 pieces. Who you date or who you marry is incredibly important. your friends. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And then finding a local church you can be committed to, which, by the way, is the place to find the people who you would befriend and who you could date and marry. You need to find friendship through the church. The final thing that I would point out to you about how to make good decisions when you graduate is to think about what you're going to do with money. Money is so important. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. And if you want to blow your life up, here's what I would tell you to do. Spend your life post-graduation chasing the best job offer and maximizing your income earning potential at all costs. Take the big job no matter where it takes you, irrespective of if there's a good church there. Just chase the almighty dollar. You want to blow your life up. Obsess about how to make more and more and more money. But if you want to succeed and to thrive post-graduation, here's the first thing I would say to you. You need to learn how to be generous. Because by giving your money away, you will own your money. Your money won't own you. I learned these principles a long time ago. I've taught them in various contexts, that the biblical order in how you deal with finances is to give first, to save second, to live on what you have left over with contentment, and to avoid going into bad debt. And if you are a college student graduating, or you're a high schooler going to college, if I could implore you in the area of your money, guys, America is riddled with greed. If you just live the way everyone in America lives, you will live a greedy, selfish life. It is like the basic operating system you are programmed with in America is financial affluence and greed, to want more, to need more than you actually need or should have. And if you're going to guard your heart against that culture of greed, you need the first thing you do with your money not to be spending it on yourself, but giving it toward God's kingdom priorities, particularly through his local church. Here's what you should do. The first paycheck you make after graduation, first, before you write any other checks, give to your local church. Make giving your first priority. And once it's a priority, then let it also become a passion. What I've tried to do in my life is, as a priority, always give to my local church a minimum of a tithe. And then beyond that, give to ministries that are my passion, that I love and want to see go forward. So I've given to support missionaries I knew, or to support Salt Company staff or different church plants, because it was a joy to give. That sort of principle, I don't know who taught me that, from my first paychecks, that was a guard in my heart against the love of money. So give first. Then, if you're graduating from college or high school, save second. A little bit put away over a long period of time is kind of following the biblical principle of an ant that is putting away a little bit before there is no food left. And so that's the way savings works. Don't believe that you can become a Bitcoin millionaire overnight, or that somehow some sort of NFT is going to make you wealthy. Don't chase silly get-rich-quick schemes. Instead, save a little bit over a long period of time. So what you do is, the first check you write is to God. The second check you write is to yourself. You give first. You save second. You live on the rest with joyful contentment. Oh, guys, listen to me. You don't need to make much money to be incredibly happy. Some of the happiest years of my life were when I was first married to Crystal. And guys, we made like nothing. We were both going through school. I was full-time. She was a part-time college student. She's working full-time, going to school part-time. We're scraping together. We didn't have very much money. I think every piece of furniture we owned was given to us by family members. And we had so much fun together. We had board game nights with our friends. We went on the cheapest dates imaginable and, you know, split a coffee together. And it was awesome. It was awesome. You don't need a ton of money to have a ton of joy. That's one of the great lies of our culture, is that joy is produced by lots of income. It's not necessarily true. Joy is produced actually by looking at everything God has given you with incredible thankfulness and contentment. And guys, if you can't be content with a hand-me-down couch that your grandma gives you, you're not going to suddenly become more content when you get a great leather one. You know why? Because contentment isn't produced by the substance of the things. It's a product of the condition of your heart. Contentment is a spiritual issue. So give first, save second, live on what's left over with contentment, and do not go into bad debt. Some of you, if you're graduating from college, you have a lot of debt. Bad debt is the sort of debt that doesn't earn value over time. So home loans can be a good thing because a home, when you purchase one in America, grows in value over time generally. But honestly, bad debt is any debt that is a burden to repay. If you have tons of debt, here's what I want you to do. Live as simple as you can and get out of debt. Go to a Dave Ramsey class. Get some wisdom on what you can do with debt so that you control your money. It doesn't control you. Okay, so step back. Graduates, those who are headed to the next phase of life, four critical pieces of advice I'd want to give you as a friend, a brother, and a pastor. First, when it comes to dating and marriage, only date, only marry deeply committed Christians. Secondly, when you think about your friends, a companion of fools will become a fool, but one who walks with the wise will himself become wise. Make wise friends a priority. And how do you find those people? Well, that comes from, thirdly, a deep commitment to a local church. Pick a church that loves God and loves Jesus and plant yourself there. Flourish as a member there. Be sacrificially engaged. And then finally, with your money, don't just chase the best job and the best money and more and more and more. Instead, live your life by simple principles, giving first, saving second, living on the rest with contentment, and avoiding bad debt. And all these things, just know, as your local church at Cornerstone, as your friends, we are proud of you and we're cheering for you, graduates. Way to go. Keep going. We're cheering for you to do everything you can to honor God and to live a life that's faithful in His world. We're proud of you. Keep going, guys.